Hi, welcome to the Knockingoric podcast. I'm Catch. I grew up at Knockingoric Farm and my family run the festival. The event takes place in South Scotland with traditional, contemporary, dance and roots music from across the world. The festival is scheduled from 16th to 19th of September 2021 and advance tickets are available. There you go, in a traditional style. Over summer time is near, and the trees are sweetly blooming, and the wild mountain thyme grows around the blooming heather. Will you go, lassie, go, and we'll all go home together to pluck wild. You're listening to Go Lassie by Mungo's Hi-Fi featuring Kian Finn. In the last episode, I chatted to Morag from traditional fusion Scottish band Arai. In this episode, I'll chat to Simon Emerson, one of the founders of the magnificent and pioneering fusion band Afro-Celt Sound System, who are on our lineup in 2021. The Afro-Celts performed at our online Virtually Knockingoric event, which took place across the festival's dates in 2020. As it took place during the most restricted time in the first lockdown, bands couldn't even get together to play. I asked Simon how he found the experience.
It was bizarre. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. I've never done anything like that before in my life. We've tried to do virtual online things before and they haven't worked. It was lovely seeing it, everyone.
Members of the band were all at home in different places for the event.
Probably the most extraordinary and profound thing that I'll never forget in my life was seeing Nepali live and direct from his village on the borders of Guinea-Conakry and Mali, talking to us, showing us the house where he was born, which is a traditional African mud hut, and performing on his balafon, which would have been made in his village. And there was just a really profound sense of connection there. That's the first time we've actually seen the Farley's village as a band. He's obviously talked about it a lot. And it just made the concept of the global village a little bit more immediate and familiar. I mean, we've got to really thank the festival for giving us that opportunity. It was lovely. It was really, really nice. It was odd because it was quite short. And at the end of it, I felt like I'd done a gig. So I had the kind of adrenaline rush. And then that moment where you effectively come off stage and you have a glass of wine. But of course, we hadn't done a gig. But it was, I think you did something very profound and quite pioneering, and something that will become the new normal eventually as internet technology learns to adapt to these creative online form platforms.
Well, thanks. It was fun, although, yeah, quite. We didn't know what we were doing either, really, as organisers.
Didn't that make it great, though? I mean, that was captured, I think, in the moment, and I think that's how all the best stuff happens. You know, festivals have got too clinical and corporate and safe. And to be honest, you can spend a summer touring festivals now across Europe and they're all the same festival. You know, it's all the same backstage area, the same catering. Quite often you're using the same PA companies. And it's quite strange to do something that catches us all by surprise, and it certainly did. I love the chaos and anarchy of it, but then that's just me.
So obviously Afro-Celt Sound System are on the lineup for Knockingoric, and you know, we've kind of wanted Afro-Celts for a long time, and finally it might happen sometime soon. You were pretty much a founder really of that kind of, whatever you want to call it, fusion world music. The scene has sort of evolved and developed since the 90s. And how do you see sort of Afro-Celt Sound System having evolved in your sound in terms of the kind of cultural context of society at the moment? And where do you think it's going?
Well, good question. So world music as a term was kind of created in the mid-80s by a small group of people, all of whom I know, who are friends. And it caught me by surprise because I was in a band called Working Week, and we were a proto-world music band in that we had a Brazilian percussion player called Bosco de Oliveira. Our original bass player was South African, a black South African guy. We had Chuchao Merchant from Colombia on bass. But this was multicultural London, you see, and we didn't set out to create a multicultural band. It was just what we were doing at the time. I was really interested in African music and African guitar playing particularly. I'd come out of the kind of punk rock scene and the indie pop scene, and I was learning Zairean guitar parts in my band Weekend because it just worked. And the term became a very strong marketing sort of product placement term that meant that, you know, all this global music could be filed and categorized in the record shops. And I was never very comfortable with it, and I always felt it had been imposed on me. But it was still a fantastic playground to be in. But we've now moved on, and for me, if world music is going to work as a term, and I know a lot of people have ditched it, but it's all about empowering the musicians and empowering the performers, and there hasn't really been any qualitative shift in who runs and controls the world music theme. You still find it's the same faces. And in terms of the whole debate about white privilege and the discussion that's come up from the Black Lives Matter movement, I think it's really about time we address this, because the fact is there are very, very few black musicians and musicians of colour involved in anything other than performing within world music. And I think that within the Afrocults, we address this by making Nafali and Johnny equal partners, because believe it or not, prior to a very big dispute in the band, which happened 4 years ago, they were just seen as hired hands. And I felt this was fundamentally incorrect. You can't have a world music band without total equality between, you know, the musicians who founded it, such as myself, and the musicians such as Johnny and Nafali. Johnny's an English Asian, Nafali's from Guinea-Conakry. And as part of that struggle, I think what Knock and Gorick is doing, and also festivals like Beautiful Days, is critical, because it's basically taking the concept and returning it back to smaller community organisations and to bands. And what's great about Knock and Gorick is the amount of participation and involvement of the musicians themselves. You're definitely kind of, you know, you're part of the kind of, you know, the collective, musical collective, that I think should be taking back power, really. So music is essentially anarchic and free-spirited and thrives on open borders. And that's central to the Afrocults. You know, we couldn't function as a band or the Imagine Village had there not been these incredible movements of people, you know, and these diasporas of through Britain. And I think that has to be celebrated, you know, but how you celebrate it is important. I think language is central to the empowerment of any people and the sense of identity and awareness of where you come from. And it's not just the language, it's also, you know, the stories and the legends and the poetry. And Scotland's rich with that. And there's a very strong bardic tradition, as there is in West Africa. that's the thing about world music. It has to come from the bottom up. And that's why festivals like Knock and Gorick are important. And it's that intimate link with you know, the fans and the festival organisers, beautifully personified, beautifully summed up by the Kaylee. You know, Kaylee's are great, they're democratic, you know, it isn't about watching anyone, it's about participating. And that for me is so central. And you know, we got that vibe from Knock and Gorick. I mean, everyone had told us it's that kind of festival. You know, people have been playing it for years. But, and I think it was quite inspiring.
The Lockdown Gorick Reel was named in honour of Knock and Gorick and features on the Sounds Like Knock and Gorick album. I asked Simon about the inspiration for the track.
Peter Tickell sent me a fiddle tune over his phone. He just recorded it onto his phone and sent it to me as an attachment, and it was a great tune. And I then sent it to Richard Evans, who is part of the Afrikelt Collective. There's a lot of us, as you know. And then he basically put it in time to a click so we could all record over it, sent it back to me. I then added some cittern and guitar, sent it over to Simon Richmond, and before we knew it, we had a track, which was the Lockdown Gorick Reel, and it all came together in about a week. We didn't actually physically meet, obviously. We played it as a video mix for the festival. And I then made a video based on footage that you sent me, amongst other things. And people loved it, absolutely loved it, because it really caught the spirit of the moment. I found it very emotional, actually, to be honest. When you sent me the footage of people dancing around in their living room, it just shows how we're all connected and how important festivals are.
What have you got coming up? Would you mind telling us?
I think now we've had this break, we'll try and do another album for next year. It's the 25th anniversary of the band. And I think that as soon as it all kicks off again, there's going to be such a demand for live music that I don't think we're going to be short of work. And I'm hoping that there will be a quiet revolution, that what we're taking part in now is a quiet revolution where, you know, this process of returning the power back to the people and back to the musicians will have become more consolidated. There'll be more regional, local festivals such as yourself. We should be making music to show that there's a better world out there and to bring people together and, you know, to really give people hope that we're at the epoch of something very new, as well as something very, very frightening, you know. So really, I think battle lines are being drawn up now, and I think music will become the fuel for all that is good and righteous and progressive. Ha! There you go, comrade.
No time for waste, no time for lingo. I'm to them, man. Much use them life over the same thing. Ruins. Ruins. No judging colour of a man's skin. Colour prejudice, that is a ranting. See them saw it go like all me sensing. And we put them up, I make everyone see. Tell them that me forever love me black skin. And if me go bleach it, then it's a damn sin. No show me face, it a blacker than a Gansy. Every day them fight with dung and must a planting. Yo. Just because I'm black. Them say slavery over, but we still can't relax. Just because I'm black, me black. And a innocent youth lose him life, he that day. Just because I'm black. can't forget. Show them the real melanin. Black, I'm a bro to be black. African, so you overstand this. Bro to be black, I'm a black, I'm a bro. My skin have a melanin. Black, I'm a bro to be black. African, so you overstand this.
That was Black by Skari featuring Int Dub. Thanks for listening. My thanks go to Simon Emerson, Doug Payne, Dave House and Creative Scotland. In the next episode, I'll be speaking to Doug Payne from Mungo's Hi-Fi Sound System. Catch you then.